Blog Talk Radio.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The Lord praise, the Lord praise, the Lord. Each and everyone who is joining in with us this evening, I am Pastor Tylene Daly, your host for the next hour, and I am coming to you this evening with a word from the Lord. I would like to first welcome you to this, the 1,494th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network, as well as to welcome you to tonight's ministry, Bible Study for Life. Now, I need you to do me a favor and reach out to your family and friends and let them know that we are broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Let them know they can listen via that website on the live stream. They can go to our Facebook page, which is Purpose Kingdom. They can listen to the live stream link that way, or they can listen in via phone by calling 319-527-6091. Again, that number is 319-527-6091. And if you would like to speak with me live on the air this evening, simply hit the number 1 and the engineer will let us know that you are waiting to live on the air. Amen. Now, the last thing that I need you to do this evening is to grab something to write with and something to write on. And most importantly, grab your sword, which is the Word of God, your Bible, your basic instructions before leaving this earth. And let's prepare to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Hallelujah, God. This word that the Lord has me bringing forth this evening, I must admit this thing has been in my spirit for well over a month. I don't care what I was doing. I don't care where I've gone. I don't care what conversation I might have been having. I kept in one way or another being led back to this chapter in the book of John. And then the word that the Lord spoke last night through evangelist Cheryl Johnson in her ministry In Search of the Truth, it got it stirred up in me all over again. And I can honestly say, since God has had me studying this, the only time I can find a moment of peace is when I'm diving back into the scripture to study just a little bit more. And honestly, I've been having like a Jeremiah moment. This word feels like fire shut up in my bones, and it just won't leave me alone. Hallelujah. And I now feel like a mother about to give birth as I feel it finally able to be brought forth. Hallelujah, God. This word that was first meant for me, and now the Lord has allowed me to be able to share it with you. Amen. So, evening, we are going to be in the book of John, the book of John. That is the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And once you get to John, I would like you to meet me at the 11th chapter. the 11th chapter of the book of John. Now, before we get into the scripture, I want you to know that I'll be reading from the Message version this evening. As far as for the book of John, the 11th chapter will be coming out of the Message version, but in all honesty, this does not read too differently than the King James version, so you should be able to follow along. But again, we are in the 11th chapter of St. John, and although we will be dealing with verses 1 through 45, we're not going to read all of them at this time, but we do have a couple of key scriptures that we are going to focus on this evening, and they can be found at John chapter 11, verse 14. Then we're going to jump down to John 11 and 42, and then we're going to end with John 11 and 45. Again, that's John 11, verses 14. Verse 42 and verse 45. John chapter 11, verse 14 simply says, "Then Jesus became explicit. Lazarus died." Again, "Then Jesus became explicit. Lazarus died." John 11 and 42 says, "I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me." Amen. I'm going to read that again. John 11 and 42. "I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me." And then finally, John chapter 11, verse 45, and it says, "That was a turnaround for many of the Jews who were with Mary. They saw what Jesus did and believed in him." I'll read it one more time. "That was a turnaround for many of the Jews who were with Mary. They saw what Jesus did and believed in him." And I would like to speak with you this evening from the topic, Jesus, a dead man in the people. Amen. Jesus, a dead man in the people. And for a subtopic this evening, the subtopic would be, it's not about you. Amen. So let us first go to the throne of glory in prayer, and then we were going to dive the word. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. Hallelujah, God. We magnify and we glorify you. Hallelujah, God. We offer up the praises of our lips this evening, Father God. Hallelujah, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we enter, hallelujah, God, into thy gates with thanksgiving, and we enter into thy courtyards. Hallelujah, Father. With praise, hallelujah, God, for you and you alone are worthy of the glory, the honor, and the praise, Father. We come first as bad children before a good parent, Father God, asking forgiveness of any sins that we may have committed, Father God, whether they were sins of thought, deed, or action, Father. Sins of omission or sins of commission, Father God. We come asking you to forgive us this evening in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. We come asking you to cast those things into yonder sea of forgetfulness that they not rise up against us in the day of judgment, Father. We come asking that you give us a true repentance spirit from these things, Father God, that as we turn from them, we will never again turn back to them in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Then we come, Father God, asking for a falling of your Holy Spirit this evening, a refreshing feeling as the dewdrops fall from heaven upon your people this evening, Father God, from the crown of our heads to the sole of our feet, Father God. I don't know where people may be listening at this evening, Father. I don't know what they may stand in need of this evening, Father, but I know that you are a God who sits high and looks low, Father God. I know that you are omni, Father God. You are omniscient as well as omnipotent, Father God. You see all, you know all, and you can do all, Father God. So I ask that you will meet the needs of your people wherever they may be this evening, Father God. Someone is looking for financial breakthroughs. We ask that you release it in the name of Jesus, God. Somebody's looking for healing this evening, Father God. We ask that you release it right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Somebody's looking for comfort as they're grieving the loss of loved ones, Father God. We ask that you shower them with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We ask that shackles be broken this evening, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that demonic forces and powers must leave people alone this evening, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Father. We ask that you will build a wall around all those who are listening to the word this evening, Father, that they may be able, if they do not know you, to come to the saving knowledge of you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And if it may be someone who's listening this evening that knows you, Father, but has fallen away from you, Father, you are still the God of reconciliation. Hallelujah, God. We ask that you will draw them back into right relationship with you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, 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 Father. We thank you this evening, Father God. We praise you this evening, Father God. Hallelujah, Father, as I stand before you this evening, Father God, I come as an empty vessel, surrendering to your will in your way, Father God. I ask that your Holy Spirit speak forth through me this evening, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, as I go and hide behind the throne, hallelujah, God, that you will have your way on these airways, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. I pray that the words of my mouth, hallelujah, and the meditation of my heart, hallelujah, God, will be acceptable in you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah, Father. It is in the saving name, the powerful name, the healing name, the glorified name, the delivering name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God, that I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm just excited, hallelujah, about what God is doing and what God is going to do this evening, hallelujah, as we talk about Jesus, a dead man, and hallelujah, God. Now, the very first verse, if you look in the book of John, the 11th chapter, the very first verse begins with introduction of what is going on in three out of the four main characters. The first verse introduces us to Lazarus, and it informs us that he is sick. It informs us that his sister Mary and Martha not only lived with their brother, but they were all friends of Jesus. And I don't mean just associates, you know, folk that hung with somebody he knew or some outsider that heard about him and they just hung close to him when he came around. I mean, they were close friends, because the second verse tells us that Mary, this Mary that is mentioned here, is the same woman that anointed Jesus' feet with oil and her tears and dries his feet with her hair. Amen. This is the same Mary and Martha when the last time Jesus was there in Luke 10 and 40, Martha got mad because Mary would not leave Jesus' side and she got left to do all the work. So when I say they were friends of Jesus, I need you to understand the closeness, because to be honest, I don't think saying friends actually does justice to the closeness of their relationship. In today's time, we would say that they was Jesus, his peeps, They were his crew. They was his family. Amen. And proof of this can be found in John 11:3. And it says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, because remember, it starts with their brother Lazarus is sick. And it says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Master, the one you love so very much is sick. Hallelujah, God. They sent word to their friend, to their brother, to their master, to their teacher, to their savior. But what I love about this prayer that they sent, this request, because truthfully I say prayer because that's what prayer is. It's a conversation, and it's where we make our requests known unto God. But what I love about it is when they address Jesus to let him know that Lazarus was sick, they didn't say, Jesus, Master, the one who loves you so very much is sick, but they said, the one you love so very much. This proves how Jesus felt about Lazarus. Amen. Because they addressed Jesus based not on how Lazarus felt about him, but on how Jesus felt about Lazarus. Amen. How many times when you think about how much you may love the Lord, do you ever stop and think about how much more he loves you? Amen. And they didn't. What the other thing I noticed about this prayer or this request when they sent word was they didn't say, Lord, come do something. They just placed the situation in his hands. They took it to the Lord and left it there. The one you love is sick, because they knew that if Jesus knew what was going on after all the other things they had seen him do, after all the other things they had heard of him doing, they knew that if they could just take it to the Lord, amen, if they just gave it to the Lord, they knew they didn't have to get into details. They didn't have to get into, you know, he's been sick this long. Well, he's running a fever. You know how we do when we call somebody and we say, hey, can you hold so-and-so in prayer? They're sick. Or can you have a word of prayer for me? I'm not feeling good. First thing we start doing is we start wanting to act like we the doctor, and we start triaging. Well, you're not feeling good. What's going on? Do you have a fever? Do you are your bowels loose? Are you able to stand up? Are you holding down food? But we start going through all of the questions, and what they did was they didn't go through all this. They just said, Jesus, the one that you love very much is sick. And they didn't have another concern, because they were tight like that with Jesus. How many of us like that with Jesus, that we can just tell him the situation, give it over to him, and walk away from it? I'm not talking about the way we do today, you know, where we pray about it in the morning, then we go pick it back up and give it back to him at noonday, then we go pick it back up and give it back over to him in the evening. I mean, how many of us can just give a situation over to Jesus and leave it there? How many of us has such a tight relationship with God that you don't just call on him and say, this is what's going on, but can call on him and just say, the one you love is going through something. The one you love is sick. The one you love is hungry. How many of us, when we are talking to Jesus, can refer to yourself as the one he loves? Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. I have a sister friend. We were actually given the name of Boxy Twin by Bishop Carnell. And what I loved about it is she would always say concerning herself how she knew she was one of Jesus' favorites. Amen. Can you say that you are one of Jesus' favorite? How many of you can give it to the Lord with that type of confidence that he will handle the situation that you are giving unto him? Now, please understand, I'm not saying that in a way to make a judgment or pass judgment on anyone or anything. What I'm trying to get you to do is, if it's something that you've never done, then I'm trying to get you to try him out on it. The word of God says, taste and see that I am good. Hallelujah, God, which means he's saying, come try me out. Try him out. Give him that situation, that thing that you're wrestling with, that thing that you've been going through, that thing that you've been dealing with. Just give it to him and know that he will do all that what you have asked him to do. Hallelujah, God. But now it said that the sisters had sent this message to Jesus. But now when you jump down to the fourth verse, Jesus has received the message, and his response can be heard in verse 4. It says, when Jesus got the message, he said, this sickness is not fatal. The King James Version says, this sickness is not unto death. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. Now, the fifth verse says, Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. But oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 more days. Amen. It said that when Jesus got the message, his first reply was, this sickness is not fatal. This sickness is not unto death. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son. And then the next verse says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, talking about Mary, and Lazarus. But when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Now, they had pleaded, Lord, it is he whom thou lovest. And the plea is allowed. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. These are his family. These are his people. These are his closest friends, and he got a word that one was sick and the other two were worried, and Jesus stays where he is at. Now, one would think that it should follow. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he would have made all haste to get to him. I mean, after all, the verse right after that says that he loved them. Now was not a time to show it by hastening to them, for he knew they impatiently expected him. But he took the contrary way to show his love. Hallelujah, God. It is not said he loved them and yet he lingered. It says, but he loved them and therefore he lingered. He loved them and therefore he stayed where he was. Now, when he heard that his friend was sick, instead of coming to post up next to him, again, he abode 2 days in the same place. Now, the first thing that I want you to know is while he is aboding in this same place, again, he loves Mary and Martha. He loves Lazarus, amen. He loves them as his own family. Yet in him loving them, he chose to stay where he was. And the deep part in that is, for some of us today, we love the Lord. We are truly saved. We have truly given our lives to Christ. And we know that God loves us. We know, as my Bopsy twin always says, that we are one of God's favorite. But yet we're sitting there feeling like we have been calling out to them, to him, and yet he has not yet answered us. Amen. Has that ever happened to you? You're sitting there like Mary and Martha waiting for God to show up. You know that he has a great opinion of you. He knows of the wisdom that he's placed in you. He knows of the grace that he's bestowed upon you. He knows of the faith and patience that he has matured in you. Above others of his disciples, he has a love you, but he deferred coming to you. Why did he defer coming? Well, the scripture goes to say that the sickness was not fatal, or the sickness was not unto death, but it was so that God could get the glory and that the Son of Man could be glorified, and so that we would know that God has sent him. Hallelujah. Somebody going to catch that. You know that you've been saved. You know that you call on the Lord. You know you have a personal relationship. He calls and you show up. You call and he shows up. Yet this time you called out to him in the situation and you feel like, yo, Jesus, where you at? And he just hasn't moved, and you're trying to figure out why. You're going through on your job, and you're calling on the Lord, and he hasn't moved, and you're trying to figure out why. You're going through in your family, in your community, and you're calling on him, and you're believing on him, and he hasn't moved. You're calling on him for deliverance, for healing, and he hasn't moved, and you're trying to figure it out why. Did you do something wrong? He's shown up every other time, and God told me to let you know that the problem is not that he is ignoring you. The problem is not that God is punishing you. The truth of the matter is twofold. The first part of the fold is that he trusts you like that. Hallelujah, God. That's a place to shout right there, and we're going to come right back to that. The first part of the fold is he trusts you like that. And the second part of the fold is that the situation you're going through isn't even about you. Amen. Now, we're going to come back to the second part in a minute, but we're going to deal with the first part of the fold. He trusts you like that. He trusts you to go through what you are going through, so that he can show up and show out in you, through you, and for you. Amen. Hallelujah. God. The scripture told us that he loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, but he loved them so much, that is, that he designed to do something great and extraordinary for them, to work such a miracle for their relief as if such something that they had never seen coming. And therefore, he delayed coming to them that Lazarus might be dead and buried before he came. Hallelujah, God. If Christ had come presently, if Christ had showed up as soon as they called for him, his love for them, he would have cured them. He'd have cured the sickness of Lazarus, but that is nothing no different than what he had already done for so many other people. If he had been there right at the moment that Lazarus had passed away, he'd have called him back to life. But that, again, would be nothing no more than that which they had already seen him do. But by deferring their relief, by deferring their healing, by deferring his presence for so long, Jesus had an opportunity of doing more for Lazarus and his family than he had done for anyone else. Hallelujah, God. It was because of the relationship that Lazarus had with God through Jesus Christ, this great miracle we are talking about this evening was even about to take place, because Jesus trusted him like that. Hallelujah, God. Somebody out there this evening is going through something, and you've been going through it for a while, and you've been calling out to God saying, why am I going through this? And what God has told me to tell you this evening on my way to glory is because Jesus trusts you like that. Hallelujah, God. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody said, I need a scripture to back that up. I ain't never heard a scripture where God said he trusted somebody in such a way. Well, if you look at Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, we read, when God is the one speaking, but not my servant Moses, of all my house, he is the one I trust. And again, that is God speaking in that verse. That is God saying that he trusts in Moses like that. That is God saying that that situation he has you in, he trusts in you like that. And you know, the funny part is with all the studying and all the reading, all the preaching I've heard, all the teaching I have received, I've always heard it taught how important it is for us to put our trust in God. But in this recent reading of this scripture, the Lord made me have to stop and ask the question, as much trust as you have put in God, can God trust you like that? Hallelujah, God. Can God trust you to be there going through what you are going through? Hallelujah, God. You have to remember that trust is a dependability. It's a deep confidence in someone. We tend to trust people who are reliable, who are consistent, and who don't change with seasons or with the wind direction. Have you ever considered the fact that maybe God is looking for that type of person, that type of person he can trust to do what he has called us to do, no matter which way the wind is blowing, no matter what season we find ourselves in, no matter the trial or the tribulation? Can God trust you? Is your faith strong enough? Is your faith solid enough that God can trust you to keep loving when all around all you see is hate? Can God trust you to keep walking in accordance to his word when the world has turned away from it? Can God trust you to keep praising him when everyone around you is cursing or condemning him? Can God trust you to keep your faith in him when there's nothing but doubt and fear surrounding you? Can God trust you even in death? Hallelujah, God. Can God trust you enough to let you die in him? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Which brings us back on point with our message this evening. He sent a word back to the family. This sickness isn't unto death, but for the glory of God. He is sending a message back to some of you this evening that sickness you are wrestling with is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified through you. Hallelujah, God. And I'm not talking about naturally necessary actual sickness, that like of some type of illness. I don't know what the proverbial sickness is that you may be dealing with. You could have a sickness of hatred. You could have a sickness of unforgiveness. You could have a sickness of backbiting. You could have a sickness of adultery or addiction, a lying tongue, a judgmental spirit. Hallelujah. And the list could go on and on and on. But what God has sent me to tell you is that you have been calling on God to heal you, to deliver you, to make you whole. But no matter how much you pray, he hasn't shown up. God has given me permission to let you know, hallelujah, God, that God is not only about to show up, but he is about to show out. Hallelujah. You stay in your spirit, but he should have been here by now. This situation is killing me. It's destroying me. And God wants me to let you know that he sees what you are going through. He knows what it is doing to you. He wants you to know that the situation is not breaking you, hallelujah, but that God is breaking that thing in you so that he can restore you, hallelujah, God. It's like the potter with the clay. He saw a mar somewhere in that which he was creating in you, so he smushed it back down so that he can begin to rebuild it. Hallelujah, God, as we go through the restoration period in our lives. Hallelujah, God. He hasn't shown up yet, because if he shows up right now, the people around you might think that it was something that you did. If he was to show up right now, those that have been willing to help you, they may think that it was something that they did. But oh, no, 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 honey. God wants everyone around you that is watching you to know that it was only God. Hallelujah, God. That it was nothing but God that brought you through. It's nothing but God that is still sustaining you. It is nothing but God that is keeping you, that is protecting you. Hallelujah, Father God. that it is nothing but God. Now, you go back into John chapter 11, verse 7, it says, after the 2 days, he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. Jesus replied, and there's not, he said, let's go back to Judea. Amen. And I'm going to stop right there with just let's go back to Judea because of the time. I want us to be able to get all of this word in. Amen. He said after 2 days, he said, let's go back to Judea. Now, it was now time for Jesus to go see about Lazarus. See, Lazarus lived in the Judea region. Amen. And Christ had finally decided that it was time for him to go show some favor to his people. Hallelujah, God. How many of you know that Christ will arise in favor of his people when the time of faith to favor them has yet come? For there is a set time. Even in your situation, there is a set time. There is a divinely set for God to show up. And for those of you who don't know, I need you to understand that it's usually when the time looks its worth that it becomes the set time for him to show up. When our hope is lost, when we are cut off from our parts and our peers, then they shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened the graves. That's Ezekiel 37 and 11 and Ezekiel 37 and 13. It's in that set time is when it looks the worst, that's when God shows up. I got one even before I go into this next piece of him showing up. If you think back to Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, that whole army was wiped out. They went to a war. They fought in a war. They died in the war. Their bodies was left out to decay in open. So much so that the jackals and animals ate of their flesh after they had first died, and then their bodies decayed down to just the bone, and then because of the elements of the earth, the elements of life, the heat, the wind, the rain, snow, whatever, that the bones had dried up. You don't get no more dead than dried bones, but God at that, the set time when it was definitely the worst time, he shows up with Ezekiel and says, yo, man of God, shall these bones yet live? And y'all know the story about how God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the winds and to the prophesy to the bones, and then how it all came back together. And if you don't know, go read it in the book of Ezekiel, because we're not going to get off topic. But I want you to know that it is in that worst time. It's in the depth of affliction, hallelujah, that God will show up. Let this therefore keep us out of the depth of despair when we find ourselves going through things, because when we find ourselves at our weakest moment, that man's extremity, what is man's weakness, is God's opportunity to show up and to show himself off. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. When we get to that place where we just can't do no more and we give it over to the Lord, that is when he shows up and shows out for us. When we get to that place where we say, Father, I surrender it to you, that's when he shows up as El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. When we get to that place of surrender and saying, Father, I will follow you, that's when he shows up as Jehovah Ra, the Lord, our shepherd. When we get to that place when we say, Lord, I heard what the doctor said, but I place my body, my health, my soul in your hands, that's when he shows up as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us. Hallelujah, God. It's when we're going through those rough places, those rough patches, that's when he shows up as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is there with us. Hallelujah, God. That's when he shows up as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. It's when our situation is the worst that he shows up the best. It's when we are our weakest that he becomes the strongest in us. Hallelujah, God. So he said, let's go back to Judea. But there was a problem with going back into Judea, because when they were in Judea before, the Jews there sought to kill Jesus. They attempted to stone him. So his statement of let's go back to Judea was not met with the, okay, Lord, let's pack up camp. Jesus said we're going to Judea. Let's go. It was more so met with resistance. Rabbi, you can't do that. They just tried to kill you. Now, this is the first thing that I want you to know, and we're going to take the side topic because the Lord had told me it's important for us to stop here for a second. Originally, I was sort of going to jump through this discourse, but the Lord told me that it's important because there are some people out there that God is calling to do some things, and they are allowing from moving because of what they have went through or what they saw someone else go through for the sake of Jesus Christ. So they're scared to move. They're scared to go back there because of the abuse that they saw take place. They did not want to go to Judea because their master's life had almost been taken, or so that's how they considered it. And because that's how they felt like it was also an attempt to take their lives also. So that meant that Judea was sort of hot for them right now. So why was he talking about going back to Judea? But if you look at this scripture, Christ did not say, y'all go ahead into Judea and I'm going to stay here and take shelter and y'all go check on Lazarus for me. No, he didn't say, y'all go and I'm going to stay. He said, let us go. Now, the reason this is important, because somebody out there this evening needs to be reminded that Jesus Christ will never bring his people into a perilous situation that he is not planning to stay and accompany them in it and through it. Hallelujah, God. If he brings you to it, he's not going to walk away from you. He's going to stand by you in it. Most of the time, the old saints would say he's going to pick you up and carry you through it. Amen. But let's go back to the scripture so that we can get some witnesses, so that you know this isn't just something that I'm making up, but this is what God has always done, so we can believe because he did it before, he'll do it again. Hallelujah, God. If you don't believe me, let's take a look at some biblical witnesses. Now, usually right here, folks go talk to Abraham because Abraham was getting ready to go unto the Lord. But for me, I'm going to go look for Isaac because Isaac went with his father. Isaac wasn't a little child. Isaac was a young man when his father took him on top of that mountain to sacrifice him unto the Lord, which meant Isaac was a young man. Abraham was an old man. So Isaac allowed his father to tie him up. Isaac allowed his father to bind his feet so that he couldn't run. Isaac allowed his father to place his body, hallelujah, God, on the altar. But then God showed up as a ram in the bush. Hallelujah, God. If you don't believe me, look at Joseph all throughout his life, but especially during his time in Egypt. In Genesis 39, it says, the Lord was with Moses, and he became a successful man. I'm sorry, with Joseph, and he became a successful man. The Lord was with Daniel in the lion's den. Hallelujah, God, because he shut the lion's mouth, and Daniel was able to sleep on them. If you don't believe me, look at Daniel 6:22. He was with the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Look at Daniel 3:25. And even today, hallelujah, God, no matter the situation, he is still with us today. Look at Isaiah 43:2-3. He says, when thou passest through the waters, hallelujah, I will be there with thee. And when thou go through the rivers, hallelujah, God, he will be there with me. Hallelujah, God. Do y'all see what even now, even today, he is staying with us. He is keeping us. He is reminding us that he is with us. And he didn't just say that he will be with us through the rivers. He said they will not overflow us. In other words, they can't take us out. When thou walk through the fire, hallelujah, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So even today, as we go through different trials and tribulations, hallelujah, God, the Lord is still with us. The Lord is still keeping us. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, hallelujah, God, he is with us. So Jesus, to ease the concerns, tells them what's going on because they're still nervous. He was like, you know, look, we're going back to Judea, and they had the conversation, and he said, you know, a man has to walk in the daylight, and y'all can read that part by for yourselves due to time. But he finally just broke it down to them, and he said, listen, in the 16th verse, 15th verse, he says, listen, Lazarus is dead. That's why we're going back to Judea, because Lazarus is dead. And in the 16th verse, he says, and I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there, because you're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him. I love when God gives us a new reason to believe stronger. That's just how awesome, hallelujah, that my God is. He is so awesome that even for us who already have accepted him in our lives as our personal saviors, even for us who already knows him as a healer, we know him as a deliverer, we know him as a way maker, hallelujah, he still comes up with new ways and new things to cause our belief and our faith to grow deeper in him. Hallelujah, God. Now, look at what's going on here. He said, Lazarus is dead. Now, if he said Lazarus is dead, in the minds of everyone, Lazarus is dead. And that solidifies all of it. He's gone. He done went on to glory. He's dead. What purpose do we have to go to him? That I know that was running through their minds, because they didn't understand what God was telling them to do. And not only is that the only reason I know is running through our minds, because so many of us fall into that same trap today. It's just, I don't know who the Lazarus may be in your life, but for whatever it is that they've been through, you see them that they have died in their sins, and you feel like, hey, they did. What's the purpose? Why keep speaking? Why keep praying? Why keep talking? The reason why goes back to those dry bones. Hallelujah, God. Because the God that created all things is still in control. Hallelujah. You're sitting there going, why is God sending me to witness? Why is God sending me to pray? Why is God telling me to call on this person, to go see about this person, to go talk to this person, if this person is already dead? Well, the same reason he went to see about Lazarus, because they might be dead, but he about to wake them up. He's about to tell them to get up. See, what was going on here in John, in the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, you can see the fulfillment of it in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, where Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. He's sending you to speak to the dead, because who are you that God is going to separate? And you need to remember, if you be honest with yourself, all us who are so saved, holy, and sanctified, there was a time we were dead in our sins too. Hallelujah, God. But the Lord sent somebody with the word to quicken his spirit in us. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. He's sending you to speak life. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. With everything that had gone on since they started their walk with Jesus. They had seen him raise people from the dead before. They had seen him make the lame man walk. They had seen him make the mute talk. They had seen him give sight to the blind. They seen him heal the woman with the issue of blood. They seen him do so many other things, yet they were still scared to go with Jesus when he said, come on, we got something to do. Now, I don't know who this is for this evening. Again, because God is telling somebody, come, we got to go back to that place you don't want to go to because we've got something to do there. Hallelujah, God. There's something that he wants you to do. And here's some encouragement for you in facing that. He said, be strong and courageous in Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, but you gotta go back. In Jeremiah 1 and 8, he said, be not afraid of men in their faces, but guess what, y'all? You've got to go back. Deuteronomy 31 and 8 said, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. So not only is he going with you, but he's leading you on the path to walk into and out of the situation. And then the verse says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. But guess what, y'all? You got to go back. Hallelujah. Joshua 1 and 9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah, God. And he is with you now, even at this point in the scriptures. I mean, understand that I understand the hesitancies that we sometimes go through when God tells us to go do something in a place that is not really a so-called spot for believers in Christ to be in. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is God has something greater that he is trying to get you to do and that he wants to do through you. And the only way he can do it is to get you to go back, because it's something else going on. It takes us back to, and God trusts you to do that which he is sending you to do. Hallelujah, God. He's saying that you have to go back to that place where they threatened to kill you, where they threatened to stone you, where they threatened to do whatever to you, because I trust that you will follow me when I lead you back there. I trust you will believe in me when I lead you back there. But it's because I have to take you back there that a magnificent change is going to take place in your life. Amen. Now, the scripture picks back up at Jesus, we are running out of time, and I really want to get into this. So we're going to jump down ahead because I have to get to this last piece of it where Jesus finally says to them, take me. He gets to Judea, and he runs into Mary and Martha. And again, you can read it for yourself in John chapter 11. And basically, Mary and Martha run up to him, and they tell, yo, Lord, look, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't even be dead. We know we're going to see him again, but yo, man, where were you? Lord, if you'd have just been here. Not in a blame game, not even expecting him to bring them back to life at that moment. Just the Lord, if you would have been here, the situation could have been different. How blessed are we today that because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to have a Lord, if you would have been here moment. because he's already here with us. Hallelujah, God. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus said, just show me where you laid them at. Hallelujah, God. Now, this part is for some of the saints. Hallelujah, God. We're coming back to that second fold that we were talking about because you wanted to know why you have been going through what you've been going through. Why, when you've called on Jesus, you haven't been able to get an answer in the manner in which you wanted it? How come your deliverance didn't come when you thought it should have came? How come you just thought you just sitting here and stuff has begun to die in you? Your joy has died. Your praise has died. Your peace has died. Your comfort has died. Hallelujah, God. For some backsliders, their salvation has died. But God is coming this evening to show me where you laid it at. He didn't ask what the sickness was that killed your peace. He didn't ask what the sickness was that killed your joy. He didn't ask you to give him a long song and dance about what happened and how it happened, because what he's now about to show you is that which has died in you, he's about to resurrect it in you, because he allowed it to die of you, but because of those around you, because of those who are watching you, because of those who, when he, just like with Lazarus, when he said, show me where you laid them, and then he said, roll the stone away, and one of the sisters said, Lord, wait a minute, hold on now, he's been dead for 4 days, you know, it's going to stink in there, that's going to be, that thing going to be ugly, I don't know about this one, Jesus, you know, them. For you got folk around you like that, she ain't never going to get her praise back, she done completely lost that now, he'll never have his peace back, not where he's at, they done locked him up in prison, he'll never be able to be comforted, they done lost their whole family, they'll never be able to have, well, Jesus is coming to say, roll the stone away, hallelujah, God, for that which you lost, he is about to call forth, hallelujah, and just as he called Lazarus by name, I'm getting ahead of myself, one more minute, y'all, hallelujah, God, when he said, show me where you laid them, he then said a prayer. He said, Father God, I know you always hear me, and I'm summarizing now. If you want the exact wording, you're going to have to read it for yourself. He said, Father, I know you always hear me. I know you always answer me. And I'm only doing it this way right now, not for show, form, or fashion. Hallelujah, God. But for the benefit of those standing around. Hallelujah. Somebody out there needs to know you've gone what you've gone through for the benefit of those that are standing around you. Hallelujah. They're watching you. They're learning from you. They want to see how God is going to show up in you. For some of them, you're the only word of God they know. They don't read a Bible. They read you because you proclaim to be saved, because you proclaim to walk with Christ, because you proclaim to have the favor of God on your life, because you proclaim that grace and mercy follows you. So they are reading you. And I'm here to tell you that God is about to bless you in the presence of your enemies. Understand that everybody standing around that day did not believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, some believed, and for them it was a deeper, newer meaning, a newer reason to have faith, a something that could secure their foundation in him. But for those who did not believe, hallelujah, God, when they saw Lazarus get up out the grave, when they saw Lazarus come forth, they was able to say for the first time, hallelujah, that truly this man is the Son of God. Hallelujah, God. And we thank you for that word this evening, Father God. Hallelujah, God. Jesus, the dead man. In the people, hallelujah, God. I wish I had more time to go into it like I feel it in my spirit, but we are going to be obedient to the unctioning of the Holy Spirit into our time constraint. Right now is the time for us to give the call of salvation, where we want to invite somebody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Christ is calling on you this evening to walk into your salvation. He is calling joy to come back to life in you. He is calling peace to come back to life in you. He is calling comfort to come back to life in you. Hallelujah, God. But you have to accept the call. Hallelujah, God. You have to be willing to say, Father God, I come to you. Hallelujah. Accepting the gift of your son Jesus into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my sins. I ask him to make me new in Jesus' holy name, Father God. Hallelujah, God. And if you said that prayer this evening according to God's word, once you confess it out of your mouth, tell somebody, you are saved. You don't have to wait until Sunday worship, Sabbath worship, prayer meeting, Bible study. That's a church membership. But as far as a relationship, we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, God. Now, of course, we encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary so you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, bless God. That's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another broadcast of Purpose Kingdom Network. At 9 p.m. we will be broadcasting for Rithio Vision right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Oh, I just bless God for the word of God this evening. And if you don't remember anything I said, anything that God spoke, I just want you to please remember that that trial, that tribulation, that situation, it's not about you. It is about God being glorified. Hallelujah. It is about the kingdom of God being built up. Now, yes, he is using you to do that. He is using you in your situation to reach the lost. He is using you in your situation as a walking witness. But take comfort, my brother and my sister, it's not about you. And more importantly, take comfort that that which you are going through, God is in it with you. Hallelujah, God. And he is going to deliver you through it. Hallelujah, God. We just bless and thank God for the word of God this evening. We bless and thank God for all that he has done, all that he has said. Father God, we come just praising your holy name for your word. We praise you by faith for that soul we believe gave their life to you this evening, Father. We thank you, Father God, for the acknowledgement of the fact that it is not about us, Father God. We ask, Father, and pray that your word fell on good ground this evening, Father God, that we will walk away from this place, but never your presence, with a burning desire to keep going on in the fight on the right path, holding on to your unchanging hand, allowing your word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light on our path in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Father. We ask that you bless everyone under the sound of my voice this evening, Father God. Hallelujah. We speak restoration over them this evening, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we speak deliverance over them, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, hallelujah. We praise you, we glorify you, and we magnify you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Everyone, please know that I love you with the love of Christ. And until next time, I'll be praying for you. God bless and be blessed.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.